The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful sweary.
Welcome to the Ponderosa, my friends, for an evening of songs and stories about the American West.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-faced, dickhead, asshole!
You're listening to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. My name's Jeff. I am here with JC.
Hello.
And Taylor's back.
Hi.
Tell us about your adventure.
It was a cute little scooter rally. We stayed up in Ogden at Fort Buena Verta or something? At a little campground. Whatever.
Buenaventura or something.
There it is. I don't know. Yep. We stayed there. 50 to 60 scooters riding up the canyons. It was really cool. The majority of them were vintage Vespas.
Nice.
So it was really fun. We were a sight to see.
Did any of the dudes wear suits, you know, to be like the old mods from the 80s?
Nah. But I am pledging a scooter club now called the Pharaohs.
What does your initiation look like?
Basically doing bitch things, like getting them drinks. When we're all together.
Can't you just start your own and then you can be in charge?
I don't want to. I like them.
Okay.
They've been around for 30 years.
All right.
Yeah.
I have a problem stepping and fetching. I don't like
it. I mean, like,
I'm excited for you to get your patch.
There are men out there that will do it for me and then I could just pretend I did it.
Okay, that's fair. That's absolutely fair.
That may have been the one that my initiate, like my first night, is them being like, "Let me go get me a beer," and then this one guy would go get it for me.
I think if I were in a situation where there were women being
powers for evil, that's what I say.
Being forced into a subservient role, I think I'd help out.
Yeah. It's really cool. I'm very excited. It's a year-long pledge.
See, one of the things that was so advantageous about the fraternity that Mr. Carter and I were in is that we didn't have hazing unless you consider hanging out with a bunch of Mormons that don't much appreciate you or your lifestyle on my goddamn bus.
Sounds like hazing.
It was a little hazy.
A little hazy, but not too bad.
Yeah, we went down to California. I mean, this is the big trip. We went down to California for the national debate tournament, and which I won 3 golds, by the way.
Ooh.
And wearing a zoot suit, of all things.
Mm-hmm. Riot.
I didn't own a suit at the time, and my buddy was like, I got this when I did Guys and Dolls.
Oh, my God. How embarrassing.
And I'm like, fuck no. I wore the shit out of that suit. It was brown.
He wore the shit out
of
it.
What color was it?
It was brown with tan pinstripes.
Oh, hell yeah. I thought it was going to be orange.
And it was a legit zoot suit. It was orange. Down to my fucking knees. It was wide lapels. I mean, all I needed was a goddamn fedora and a chain wallet. And I could have broken out in ska at any moment.
I thought it was either going to be like orange or bright blue.
No. That's a tuxedo, and that's Dumb and Dumber, and I got your joke, and it hurt my feelings.
No, I'm actually picturing the mask.
Oh, yeah.
Still a Jim Carrey movie. Point stands.
No, it doesn't.
Not the mask. That's the only comic book movie Jim Carrey did that worked.
And I was also thinking of the cartoon.
Yeah.
The mask had a cartoon.
It did?
Yeah.
Was it a morning cartoon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. How bad was it?
I liked it.
Okay. Yeah,
it was pretty good. It was pretty good. Yeah, for but kids, we it was liked pretty good.
We liked a lot of fucking cartoons when we were kids.
Yeah.
You know? And then I go and watch them now, and I'm like, what the fuck was wrong with me? I let my children cross the street.
Yeah.
They have no taste. That was when Cole, my oldest, one day when he was about 9 or 10, sat down and explained to me why Vin Diesel was the greatest actor who ever lived. And I did not laugh out loud.
Is it because he watched The Pacifier?
No, I think it was
Triple X.
I think it was Fast and Furious. Oh. Was he? Oh, he was in the second Triple X movie, wasn't he?
In the first one.
Oh, was he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't recall. I thought it was Ice Cube. Wasn't that Ice Cube?
No.
Okay, hang on. We're looking at it. Was Ice Cube in the second one?
I don't know. I didn't see the second one.
Okay, hang on. Let's see. This
Ice Cube was in the second one for Triple X, yes.
This is XX. I'm going to Google Triple X.
Vin Diesel.
Oh, you want me to add more?
No.
Okay.
See what happens.
Okay, here we go.
Free
All right,
porn.
We got xnxx.com.
Mm-hmm.
Videos tagged Triple X.
Oh, so see Triple X. See what results about.
Right there. Triple X 2002 film.
Oh my God, it was that
Vin
long
Diesel,
ago.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah,
Asia
why wouldn't you
Argento?
Just believe me?
I do.
Kinda you did.
I do. I have to know.
Okay.
That's all.
Triple X was Vin Diesel. Triple X 3 was Vin Diesel. Triple X 2 was Ice Cube, I think.
But didn't Vin Diesel show up at the end of Triple X 2?
Yeah.
I can't believe you guys watched like after Triple X. Like, that was enough.
I did. I only watched it when, like, I didn't go see it in the theaters like I did Triple X because Vin Diesel wasn't going to be in it. And then somebody told me, no, he shows up at the end. And so I'm like, all right, I'll watch it one of these days when it's streaming. And that's when I watched it.
Nice.
I didn't even know what streaming was at the time. And I waited until it was streaming until I saw Triple X 2.
Not only.
The same with Triple X.
Not only did you just say, and I quote, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go see Triple X 2 because Vin Diesel wasn't in it. And then when someone said he was, I went. You said that out loud while we were recording.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, if I were doing clips of the shows.
It was a fun movie with him in it. And I was like, why would I want to watch a movie? Why would I want to watch the sequel to the movie where the lead isn't in it anymore? That was my attitude. Yeah.
Somebody has been trying to get me to watch the Fast and the Furious franchise.
Oh.
But I cannot make it through that first movie.
Just watch Tokyo Drift.
I have, and I am really not looking forward to that one.
I love that
nothing,
one.
To me, it had nothing to do with Vin Diesel as much as it had to do with
Lil Bow Wow.
It turns into boys playing with their Hot Wheels way too soon. Yeah.
So?
Like, so many things that are just not real, and I'm like, wow.
Oh, look, the Fast and Furious is so real.
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all. And I'm like, wow, this is, oh boy. You guys had a lot of Hot Wheels.
We did.
I didn't know Ruby Rose was in the third Triple X movie.
Mm-hmm.
I like Ruby Rose.
Yeah.
Oh, Toni fucking Collette. Are you shitting me?
Yeah.
There's like real actors in here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Still not going to watch it, but holy
It's
shit.
A huge franchise that puts your face in front of millions of people, and it's a lot of fun to do as an actor because you just get to have fun. You just get to go and do all these crazy stunts and stuff, and it's so much fun. You get to play some kind of weird, intense character, weirdly intense character that's not really that serious.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, these actors just flock to it.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I'd probably do it if I was an actor, but
why not?
You work when you got to work.
Yeah. Hmm.
So anyway, I don't know. I mean, that's what a weird little direction we've gone off on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that. I'm pretty sure that's my fault.
I don't know. I don't know
like
where
the beginning
we started.
Of the comic book podcast there.
It really, really is.
Yep.
Ruby Rose. Ruby Rose, like, takes her clothes off in front of photographers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's a hero.
You just don't, like, it just doesn't matter.
I'm with you.
Like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, let's get rid of that. That's not news. That's not news. That's not news.
This is news.
Bob Menendez, Democratic senator out of New Jersey, has got to go. I want to make sure, because I don't really give a shit, but this is the number one story of the show for the reason of he needs to go to jail. He's already gotten away with too much before in a way that was entirely partisan.
Mm-hmm.
This is as bad, if not worse, and I want you to hear the words that I'm about to say because I am absolutely genuine in the statement. This is worse than Ken Paxton getting off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
Because this is the second round of indictments for fucking Menendez. He is a crooked, slimy, disingenuous, little piece of shit of a man. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy, Democratic leaders in the House and the Senate, all calling on Menendez to resign. And he says, no. Are you kidding me? if Clarence Thomas isn't, I'm paraphrasing, I think.
Yeah.
I'm making it up. But yeah, if Clarence Thomas doesn't have to resign, why would Menendez?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the answer to that question is because you got a D after your name, dummy, and we take this shit seriously. So
exactly.
Go the fuck away.
We can't be the party of, you know, Trump's the criminal if we don't take care of our own. Fuck, we ran off Al Franken for less than this. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did. We absolutely did. And that has turned into a huge mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Because how fucking entertaining would he be right now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I got to tell you, his little stint guest hosting The Daily Show, we tried. I love Al Franken. It was not good. It was not very good. It was a little sad. So anyway, for those of you on Twitter giving me and Jason a hard time, fuck this guy. You should go the fuck away. Okay? And all you Republicans that keep molesting little kids, you got to go away too. For a long time. You know, the ones that are doing it and then blaming drag queens. You assholes.
Oh, there was a bomb threat at a drag show or drag kids reading this morning.
The King's English Bookshop here in Salt Lake City has a Sunday read-a-thon or reading for the kids. And somebody called in a bomb threat on that one today. So they're closed. They've shut down a fucking bookstore. That should be a cardinal sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, on Friday, President Joe Biden unveiled a new White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention, a step he says is part of an effort to, quote, send a clear message about how important this issue is to me and the country. No, end quote, because CNN apparently can't afford it. Anyone who doesn't think these kind of engagements have a permanent effect on the young children, these were hard and tough cops asking me, could I get them psychiatric help? An official told reporters on a call Thursday previewing the announcement that the office's mandate will be twofold. It will be tasked with implementing and expediting last year's Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, the president's signature gun legislation, and with finding additional actions within the president's purview to stem the flow of gun violence. You know, because Congress won't.
Mm-hmm.
So the president's got to go through all the fucking notebooks and see what he can do to keep children safe in school. You know, as opposed to like the Republicans who believe that the only way to keep a children safe in school is to make sure they don't have anything to eat.
Or
doors.
Or write with.
Yes.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Anything.
Or bulletproof vests.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that one.
Shit like that.
You know, Joe, I'm very happy about this. I kind of wish it would have come earlier in your first term, but I'm not complaining. This has made me very happy to see.
Yeah. He's still got shit to do.
Yeah.
Project Veritas is dead. James O'Keefe is a piece of shit. And I'm glad.
Is in prison.
Yep. Yep. Project Veritas was a nonprofit company in New York. Founded by convicted criminal James O'Keefe III, who admitted to a federal crime involving dishonesty when he gained unlawful access to a Democratic senator's office under false pretenses. Tax records show that as recently as 2021, Project Veritas raised nearly $22 million. But today, an employee of Project Veritas broke the news of its demise on Twitter. Because fuck you, Elon Musk. We're going to talk about your sorry ass later. Citing financial disaster as the precipitating event of its demise. Quoting, breaking, Project Veritas suspends all operations effective immediately. CEO Hannah Giles and Jen Kayak of Human Resources cite financial ruin as the reason for additional layoffs, leaving merely a handful of employees left. All, quote, Jeff, quote, investigations, end quote, halted as of today. Good riddance.
Good. Bye-bye. The funny thing about Veritas was he was the guy who got busted by the FBI in his underwear because he had been called down to it's the one thing he did right in all of his career as a journalist he got called down to Florida because some guy was like, hey, I got Joe Biden's granddaughter's journal.
Oh,
come
yeah.
Come down and check it out. And he goes down to Florida to look at it. And he looks at it. He's like, no, this is her journal. And then one of his guys was like, hey, isn't like everyone looking for this journal? He's like, yeah, we should turn it into the cops. So they went and turned it into the Florida Police Department. And then somebody, the guy probably who called them down, leaked pages of it online. And they went to bust him for it. And he's like, didn't do it, but okay. So he's standing there handcuffed in his underwear while they search his house, take his computer and all of his stuff. And I'm like, yeah, yep. And then he finally goes to jail for something he actually did. And I was like, yeah, this whole thing needed to be shut down a while ago.
Still glad he's gone. Hey, you know, bye-bye. Somebody else, I'm going to be glad he's gone. Musk. Elon Musk. He is going to turn Twitter into a paid platform.
It's not worth it.
Like, I'm sitting here making up excuses not to stop using Twitter, basically to advertise the shows. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for that reason. Oh, okay. Maybe what I'll do, Elon, now bear with me, sport. You're going to like this. It's entrepreneurial. I'll take whatever monthly thing you were going to charge to use your shitty platform, your little pretty hate machine, and I will instead use that to buy Facebook ads for the shows on this network.
There you go.
Okay.
Even if it's only like $6, I will burn the $6 and give it to fucking Mark fucking Zuckerberg. Because while he's a piece of human excrement, you're the thing that eats it.
Exactly. I nuked my Twitter account, my personal Twitter account, about a month or two ago and went fully to Threads, and I barely open Threads. So
yeah, it's not my habit yet.
It's not a habit. And yet Threads has been far more entertaining to me than Twitter had been for over a year, even before Musk bought it. And so the only account I still have on Twitter would be the whole 322 account, and I can kill that one. I can nuke that one any day. So
Musk said earlier this month that Twitter's U.S. ad revenue was down 60%. He blames the company's ad challenges on civil rights and consumer groups putting pressures on big brands.
I have something else to blame, Elon.
I feel like maybe they're putting the pressure on him.
That of the social media networks, Twitter is dead last and has been dead last for quite a while now, since before he bought it. Twitter is dead last. And it's like, if you're trying to decide where to spend your advertising revenue, you don't go for the dead last place. Yeah.
That was a good
not
point.
On purpose.
No.
Not on purpose, no.
Mm-mm. No.
You only go to the dead last place because the top three don't want your ads because you're a piece of shit.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Something's about to happen that I do not agree with. And yet it's still pretty fucking cool.
Okay.
President Joe Biden will be joining the picket line with striking auto workers. This is going to cause some problems on the left. Yeah. It will be 5 minutes into this event before an actor or a writer pops up with, hey, we're on strike too.
Been on strike longer.
So then Biden's going to have to fly out and spend time with the Hollywood elite. And if we weren't in a permanent fucking presidential campaign, I'd be like, yeah, fuck it. Go for it.
Yeah.
You know, but in the meantime, I'm looking at the graphics package that the Republicans will generate about this. And I know how it's going to go. But I really think that Sean Fain, the head of the UAW, should not have extended the invitation. Biden's not an auto worker. And he could show solidarity from the pulpit like he has been doing. And instead, you put pressure on the White House and you're like, yeah, if the guy running for president really means it, why don't you get out here and have him walk the line with, you know, 4% of the American population that actually is in a union right now? You know, yeah, it's cool. It's fucking awesome. Is the former union guy in me excited? Fuck yeah. The president's going out to walk a picket line. Are you shitting me? That's fucking amazing. But the guy in me who ran political campaigns for 30 years knows full fucking well this is fraught with danger. Absolutely fraught with danger. And yet I will be clapping at the same time. You know?
I agree with the fraught with danger. The other side of it was is that I had read before this was announced that Trump was going to hold a rally there.
Yeah, in Michigan, in Detroit.
In Michigan to capitalize on the, you know, the striking auto workers and tell them he's supporting them and everything. So Biden showing up on the picket line shows more support, better support, and him being there could get the auto workers back to work faster. Which, of course, the writers union, the UAW and the SAG-AFTRA are going to be like, hey, could you come do that for us and get us back to work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, you got Trump saying, no, I'll meet with the union workers. Mm-hmm. He doesn't pay union wages. He doesn't even pay the wages he's supposed to pay for the people that he's already underpaying.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't hire union most of the time. Yeah. So, he tends to hire private contractors so he can screw over because he can't screw over the unions.
Yeah. So you're basically looking at all of the anti-labor assholes he stuck on the on the labor relations board. And you can see how much he doesn't mean it. And the union guys and ladies know full fucking well that Trump's bad for unions. Mm-hmm. But, you know, does Ma and Pa, I don't pay attention outside of a presidential year of elections? No, no, they don't.
No,
this
they
is
don't.
Going to be another one where the headlines are just going to cause problems.
Yep.
I agree. And at the same time, I think it was a smart strategic move for his campaign because there's no evidence that Trump will not be the front runner for the Republicans again. Unless these trials go well and he gets stricken from the ballot because of the 14th Amendment, which honestly somebody has to actually do it, and getting you know Congress to do anything right now is ridiculous. unless it has to do with Hunter Biden, they don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Ask the guy who's looking at a furlough coming up after next week. Yeah.
Don't remember to use lotion. Don't chafe.
Yeah.
I know what you do when you got nothing to do.
I'll get a lot of writing done, which will be fun, but at the same time I'm like, I don't get paid for that week or 2 weeks or month or 2 months that I'm not employed.
If you've never
get paid.
But if you've never seen John type one handed,
yeah,
it's something to see.
Okay.
Let's take a break. When we get back on the other side, we got some Trump related stuff. Sorry.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And Tiffany.
I just wanted to talk to you for a second about Patreon. At Patreon, you get special content every week that we record. We do a show on Patreon just for you, the listener. Now, what do we get in exchange for that? Cash money.
We're not rappers. I don't know what to do that. Cash money. Money rules everything around us.
It really does. It absolutely does. Including the cost to host these shows. That's all this pays for. We don't do anything else fun with it because we still don't make enough in Patreon to cover the cost of hosting the show. So why don't you join us? It's a lot of fun. We're a little more inappropriate. We're a little more ribald. We're a little more risible.
Sometimes we're a little more high.
Yes.
Definitely more high.
Definitely more high. So join us over at patreon.com/defenmedia. Patreon.com. D-E-F-E-N media.
You are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
So, I lost my job this week. And I am gutted. The magazine job.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And one, because it was fun. mm-hmm. most of the time. You know, it was a lot of fun. I like doing design. I was back doing design. It's the thing that makes me think that I should be getting back to real work, you know, but at the same time, you know, there was mm-hmm. there was a financial situation involved in that job that is now gone and has mm-hmm. me freaking the fuck out. Yep. So mm-hmm. I went from, what, 3 jobs to 1.5. So with my spare time, I will be both looking for work and fucking around with the network, because that's what I do when I have spare time. I fuck around with mm-hmm. the network. I can't help myself. I got to pick. It's like having a scab.
I'm sorry you lost your job, man.
Me too.
That sucks.
I really am. Yeah, and on the way out the door, I was very polite about it, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, so, you know, are you gonna pay me? I'm assuming that since you didn't mention it, the answer is no. And then, I was really looking forward to that.
Mm.
And I'm going to miss doing that work, which, you know, it's like, it's that knee-jerk reaction thing. I do. Well, it's like, fine, I'll start my own pot magazine. I don't want to do that.
Then don't.
I'm not going to. But boy, that voice popped up so fast. It's like I'm halfway through the email saying, sorry, dude. And I'm like, yeah, I'll just do it myself. I'm going to start my own party with hookers and blow. That was my bender. It's not very good. I'm still working on it.
Not too bad.
It was pretty bad.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, if you didn't know the line, you wouldn't know what I was doing. You would have thought nope. that I was being Dr. Teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love Dr. Teeth. I had the Muppet Show playing in the shop for 2 days. And all I know is that I watched these things live, first run, and I know maybe a third of the guest stars all the way through season 2. That's it. That's all I know. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, how many famous ballet dancers, currently ballet dancing, can you name right now off the top of your head?
None.
But they had a couple of them on that first season.
Yep.
And then, like, fucking Pearl Bailey pops up and starts singing, and it's like, holy shit. And then, I mean, it was Liberace was there. We got to tell a couple of Liberace jokes. Mine, I think, was, Liberace came on, and the lady in the store was like, oh, I remember this. I love Liberace. And I'm like, yep, had the nicest closet in Hollywood. And then we talked about how our parents were so fucking dense they couldn't tell that he was gay. And we were like, oh, Liberace came out of the closet? Oh, I'm so surprised.
What?
No. Why would he leave that really well-stocked closet that he was in? Yeah.
But he was great, and it's just, you know, made me fall in love with Gonzo all over again. The two mm-hmm. dudes in the balcony
I
are still my favorite.
Men.
Statler and Waldorf.
Statler and Waldorf are the greatest Muppets. Yep.
Yeah. Love those fucking guys. So I'm not sure how I got on Muppets. I'm not even high. You know what I am? I'm sad. I'm in a bad mood, and I'm having pretty much a perpetual panic attack right now. So mm-hmm. let's add to that with section 2, shall we? Jack Smith has added a war crimes prosecutor to his special counsel team. Okie dokie.
Okay.
Yeah, Jack Smith added a veteran war crimes prosecutor. This was a guy who served as Smith's deputy during his stint at The Hague.
Oh, boy.
By the way, Jack Smith used to work at The Hague. You know, where we tried all the Nazis.
Yeah.
And still do.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little older now.
But they still get tried.
Which I think is yep. awesome.
I think it is, too.
That's one of my favorite MAGA arguments is why would you put him in jail? He's so old. It's like, yeah, you know what? They just prosecuted a guy who was 30 years older than him, you know, for being a Nazi. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
If Trump's not a Nazi sympathizer.
If you're still alive and you are a Nazi and not prosecuted, the Hague gets you, they will prosecute you and throw you in prison for the rest of your life, however many more weeks that is. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty sure it's full of disposable furniture at this point, but what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Alex Whiting Alex Whiting worked alongside Smith for over 3 years, helping prosecute crimes against humanity that occurred in Kosovo in the late 90s. Yale-educated attorney also worked as a prosecutor of the International Criminal Court from 2010 to 2013. He teaches law classes at Harvard, hired as an assistant professor, now is Supreme by Elena Kagan. She's now a Supreme Court Justice. And he's been a professor since 2013. Yeah.
If I had that kind of background, I would do something super tedious as a job just to be like, just to fuck with people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's like, yeah, now I work at Target.
Yeah.
I'm a cashier.
Yeah. I'm a greeter at Walmart. Former Trump aide Cassidy Hutchinson is claiming that Rudy Giuliani groped her on January 6th.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
Of course.
Well, you know, he's extra excited. It was January 6th after all. One, big banner day for them.
Yeah, gross cousin fucker.
Yep.
And two, dude, what the fuck is wrong with you? Did not the behavior of Elliot Spitzer just show you just how bad this sort of behavior is?
No, because men in power think that it's okay because they're not going to, like, because women are intimidated. Like, they can't do anything because they freeze. Like, it's a hard reaction that we cannot, like, it's hard.
Yeah.
And, like, these men in power are like, they love it. These ladies love when I get them attention. And that's who they are as people. And they're disgusting, awful humans.
Yeah. I don't... I don't know that my interaction with people is flirty. I'm certainly friendly, but I would never lay hands without well, for me, not only permission but a goddamn gilded invitation. You know, and I mean gilded in blunt words. Touch. Okay. Where?
You may touch a good part of me.
Draw me a map. Okay, walk me through it and say everything out loud. Thank you. Because otherwise, well, I won't get it because I know what crass animals men are, and I don't think that we deserve positive attention from the ladies. I don't. We've done nothing in our history to deserve anybody being nice to white guys. You know? And not just white guys. Guys. You know, yeah. We're awful. We're fucking awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even the nicest guy has done some awful shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks. You know? Anyway. I've lost the track. Anyway, Cassidy Hutchinson, way to go, kid. Good job.
Mm-hmm.
Keep telling truths.
Yep.
Get it out there. Warn everyone.
Bust those old bastards.
Yeah. But Giuliani is also being sued over $1.4 million... from his lawyers, who would like to get paid. The problem, if I may, is that the guy who owes him all this money is Donald Trump, who has already told him he ain't paying. Yep, Rudy Giuliani's facing a lawsuit that claims the former New York mayor owes a law firm nearly $1.6 million in unpaid legal fees connected to his work as Donald Trump's personal lawyer. So not only was he Trump's personal lawyer, he subcontracted the work.
Yeah.
And the subcontractors are like, you know what they should do? They should form a union. New York law firm Davidoff, Hutcher, and Citron said
that's
Giuliani.
You form a union as a subcontractor. They say that's cute and then hire other subcontractors who don't have a union.
Yep, there you go. Said Giuliani has only paid $214,000 of a nearly $1.6 million legal expenditure. With fees that he racked up between November 2019 and July 2023. A partner at the firm, Bob Costello, represented Giuliani in probes by the federal and state prosecutors into Trump's attempts to overthrow the 2020 election, an investigation into Giuliani's business and political activities in the Ukraine, and House of Representatives panel inquiry into the January 6th, 2021 attack on the United States Capitol. Giuliani was like,
what did they think was going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what, like, did you really think that anybody would pay you in that party? That's
I mean, you're attached to a guy who's famous for not paying his bills.
Mm-hmm.
He's absolutely, you know, and it's, I wonder what sparks the loyalty of blue collar folks that's still fucking MAGA for a guy that doesn't pay people that do the work that they do. And it's the only answer I can get to, honestly, is that they enjoy racism more than they enjoy money.
Mm-hmm.
They enjoy misogyny and rape more than they enjoy money.
Mm-hmm.
They enjoy making fun of special needs people more than they like money. They want to own the fucking libs more than they want money.
Yep.
And yet they'll turn around and point a finger at Joe Biden and say, oh, well, we don't have any money. And it's his fault. Not the guy who took all the jobs. Not the piece of shit that tanked the economy. Not the motherfucker mm-hmm. who told us to put light bulbs and Lysol up our ass to get rid of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. He told us to put flashlights up our ass. And the evangelicals were like, sounds like a great fucking idea.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
I swear do it we worked do it for me.
To ourselves or do we do it to choir boys? The evangelicals would like to know.
That's
because
right.
We have seen in this country a veritable high tide of right-wing religious and political motherfuckers that are getting mm-hmm. busted with child porn, that are getting busted with taking minors over the state line. They're getting Chris Hansen left and right. And we're still arguing whether or not drag queens are dangerous. You know what they're dangerous to? The fact that I wouldn't look that fabulous if I dressed up. That's mm-hmm. what they're dangerous to. An ego portion I'm not even using. Is that it, gentlemen? Is that it? You think that if you get rid of your mullet and put on a wig, you're not going to be as pretty? Probably true.
It's probably true, yeah.
Do it anyway. Put on that dress, sport. I'm not kidding. It might be liberating. You know what my favorite piece of clothing is in my closet right now? It's a kilt. And I don't care what anybody says or how precious we're being. It's a skirt. And I feel like a lovely lady when I wear it. So back off, MAGA.
That's our word for it, by the way. You must call it a kilt if you're not Scottish.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. Yeah. I mean, that's cultural insensitivity. We can't have exactly. any of that. Because the Scots do have a culture. It's called weird food and that's fighting.
Right. Weird food and wearing everything we own all at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cold out. We live in mud huts. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're not one of the greatest civilizations, but we did invent it.
Mm-hmm.
We invented public school, the Scots. We yes. invented the lending library, the Scots.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
We invented democracy.
We did. Adam Scott or Adam mm-hmm. Smith.
Adam Smith, yeah.
Adam Smith. You know, Scotland's amazing. We went, you know, I'll just sit here in my wee mud hut, in my muddy skirt, eating my fried foods, and I'll just invent the greatest fucking civilization ever known.
But I won't cake. Live in it. No. I'll be here.
Not enough of us.
Blankers.
Fucking long shanks.
Yeah, fuck them.
So, yeah, Trump used to write... to-do lists to his assistants on White House documents marked classified.
Of course he did.
Yep. As described to ABC News, Molly Mitchell told investigators more than once she received requests or taskings from Trump that were written on the back of note cards, and she later recognized those note cards as sensitive White House materials with visible classification markings used to brief Trump while he was still in office about phone calls with foreign leaders or other international related matters. The note cards with classification markings were at Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate when the FBI searched it in August of 2022.
What do you think they said?
Just never had. Bring me a Diet Coke. I like boobies, but it was written in crayon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah.
Makes sense.
I mean, let's be honest. I write that in Sharpie. I look over at my Sharpies. I don't think I've ever written that with a Sharpie in my life. I'm gonna. And then I'm gonna hang it on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Trump did the weirdest fucking interview with NBC's Kristen Welker this week. Somebody put a meme out or a tweet that said, I thought that Lauren Boebert, you know, would be this week's example of publicly.
This is going nowhere.
Hand jobbing someone.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out it was Kristen Welker. You know, if she was soft and it wasn't great, you know. When she pushed back and he pushed back, she backed off.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like it. And I like Kristen Welker, and I was really hoping she would kick some ass, and I do not believe that she did. You know? But anyway, Trump claimed full ownership for directing the effort to overturn the 2020 election. You know? Asked him, why did you ignore and decide to listen to a new group, an outside group of attorneys? And he said, because I didn't respect them. She says, you hired them. And he says, you get a recommendation. They turned out to be rhinos, or they turned out to be not so good. In many cases, I didn't respect them, but I did respect others. I respected many others that said the election was rigged. So basically, he picked and chose, did a little picking and choosing, mm-hmm. and went, I like the guys that are saying what I want to hear.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
That was his whole world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welker did follow up by asking Trump if he was listening to his outside lawyers who were fueling his claims about the election being stolen, quote, because they were telling you what you wanted to hear. And he said, you know who I listened to? Myself. I saw what happened. I watched the election. I thought the election was over at 10 o'clock in the evening. That's not how they work, dummy.
No.
My instincts are a big part of it. That's been the thing that's gotten me to where I am, my instincts. But I also listen to people. There are many lawyers. I could give you many books. There are books that are written on how the election was rigged. Okay.
All right.
I'm sure that they are written by the very same people.
Books written about that. They're fantasy and fiction books, but, you know, they have written them.
But, yeah, they're written by the people that he was taking advice from because it was what he wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, we're going to go to a break, and I'm going to make everybody say nice things to me.
Aw.
Okay.
No. Really? Oh, all right. Might record that later.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This week on the world's greatest comic book podcast, we remember Joe Matt and Roger Whittaker. Hasbro has new action figures from Ashoka coming soon.
Hopefully we can find them somewhere.
And Sig says they were once Jedi. In moving pictures, J.J. Abrams wants to reboot Kroll. Amazon Prime will soon have ads.
Does Bezos really need more money now?
Russell Brand is going the way of Bill Cosby. In comics, X-Men will end its Krakoa era.
Woohoo!
Bendis and Maliv are reuniting for a new comic book series.
That'll be good.
Marvel is doing a Planet of the Apes prequel and a new Ultimate Spider-Man series.
I still need a running total of Batman versus Spider-Man titles, guys.
Review Wonder Woman number 1, Predator versus Wolverine, Captain America number 1, Green Lantern War Journal number 1, Daredevil, and It's Lonely at the Center of the Earth. All that and more on the Fables controversy. Facefront, True Believers, it's the world's greatest comic book podcast. Available Tuesdays on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and thecomicbookpodcast.com.
I ordered a chicken and an egg from Amazon. I'll let you know which one gets here first. Okay, look. It's like this.
Okay.
I could see a picture
uh-huh.
and go, I'm interested in what this person has to say.
Mm-hmm. I don't.
I can listen. I can watch her do an interview.
Uh-huh.
And I go, oh, she seems nice. You know?
Yeah.
And then I listen to her music. And the musician in me is like, this is fucking fire. But then the music critic in my head that controls what I listen to and like is like, yeah, but we don't like it.
I don't like her.
I do. I like her as a person. Mm-hmm. You heard what she did with all of her truck drivers?
Yeah.
She gave them all $200,000.
Yeah.
When you got a shitload of money and you're like, you know what? My truck drivers deserve, you know, retirement sized money.
Hmm.
Yeah. Why don't you like her?
I just don't care about her. She doesn't cross my mind.
Oh, I do. And I'll tell you why.
I don't like her music.
I don't either.
I don't like.
Yeah.
I think I just don't like her. She just.
Bad Blood was pretty
She has fun. I just don't like her.
You don't like Happy Blonde Girls?
I just don't like her.
Okay.
Probably. I don't know many Happy Blonde Girls, though.
That's fair. But I don't know. She impresses me.
Mm-hmm.
And no kidding, her musical bass, everything she builds up off of, is incredibly tight and incredibly talented. It's not for me. It's just not my thing. But the next story will tell you why I think that she's important. But on this one, if you resold Taylor Swift Eras Tour tickets, the IRS would like to know, because you can't make more than $600 in profit without a tax penalty.
Oh, brother.
And the tickets for the Taylor Swiftie Tour were selling for thousands of dollars.
Disgusting.
Yep. Yeah, ticketing websites previously had to send 1099-K forms to a user who made more than $20,000 through 200 or more transactions per year. The updated law has lowered that amount to $600 regardless of the number of sales, and sellers will only need to pay taxes on the profit. So basically, if you bought $200 tickets and you sold them for $10,000, you owe a shitload of money based on a percentage. I couldn't figure out if you had a gun to my head, you know, of what, $9,980?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So behave, fuckers.
People are so sleazy.
Yeah.
Hey. Also, that's expensive to go to that concert anyway.
Like, yeah.
It's just... ugh.
I mean, that's the thing, is it's like, we went and saw the Roger Waters concert, and I line mm-hmm. up with a lot of his politics, and some I don't. Some I don't much care for, but a lot of them I do,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then he's always been an asshole, but he really went off the rails the last year and a half.
Yeah.
And that's music I love, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift's not over here calling President Biden a Nazi. Because he's not. But Taylor Swift registered over 3,500 voters in a week.
She also boosted the economy.
Let me try that again. 35,000 voters
mm-hmm.
in a week. Taylor Swift asked fans to register to vote, and they did.
It's a fucking cult.
Yep. But it's a cult that's on our side.
Mm-hmm.
For now.
I get it. Well, you think she's going to get a little older? She's going to swing right? I don't know. I don't think so.
I doubt it. I'm just saying.
Anyway.
She did boost our economy, though.
She did.
That's pretty cool.
The second most played artist on Spotify this year in mm-hmm. July scored the biggest week of sales for an album with Speak Now, Taylor's version, because she's redoing her old back catalog.
I know that, yeah. Because of Scooter Braun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Piece of shit.
Yep.
Yep. Anyway, she jumped on the Instagrams on Tuesday for National Voter Registration Day and said, hey, why don't you go register to vote? And a whole shitload of people did. Register to vote in less than 2 minutes at vote.org/NVRD. As a result, vote.org's communications director tweeted, our site was averaging 13,000 users every 30 minutes.
Outstanding.
So glad it didn't break.
I'm impressed it didn't break.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I'm just saying, she needs to keep it up. She needs to keep Every time she's on stage, she needs to tell people, I mean, that's 30, 40,000 people right there. Go register to vote. Go register to vote. Go register to vote. She just needs to keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because people are listening, and they need to do it. So like I said,
put up a QR code at the you know,
oh,
everybody
smart.
Gets there. Put up a QR code. They take a picture with their phone. You know, and the whole thing is like Taylor and just have Taylor doing a PSA as kind of like the pre-concert thing, just going up and say, even before the opening act comes on, she just gets up and says, hey, get on and register to vote. Use this QR code right now and vote and register to vote.
And according to the internet, everybody, they're shooting video anyway, so it's not like their fucking phones aren't out.
Yeah.
No, they want, in fact, she encourages it, so yeah.
I got into a huge argument with a guy online when you and I went to Roger Waters.
Yeah.
And I was like, look at me posting pictures instead of like shitty video with terrible audio of a concert.
Yeah.
You know, I would pull my phone out, click, click, put my phone down.
Yeah.
And some guy's like, I should be able to do what I want. And I said, I didn't say you couldn't do it. I just said you're a terrible person for posting it. What if I want to remember? Well, look at your phone, dude. Instead of, you know, subjecting anybody who swings past your fucking profile to have to listen to your shitty fucking phone with your shitty fucking video, then I can hear the guy next to you eating nachos. It's not entertaining. It's not. No, by the way, JC did not have nachos.
No, I did not.
When we were there. I think only for the reason that the line to get a drink was 40 minutes long.
Yeah, our wait in line just to get a drink was ridiculous. And we kept thinking we were going to miss the opening. And we got lucky that we didn't. I wouldn't have dared take a video anyway, because the guy one seat over from me was piercing my eardrums with his screams. Anytime something cool came up on the screen or whatever.
Oh, is that the guy that was going, yeah, all the time? Or was it the guy
that
kept narrating?
I had a guy, there's a guy next to me, and the guy next to him was screaming so loud, it was hurting my ears. And I'm like, the guy next to him had to have been deaf by the time it was over.
What?
In his right ear. Yeah. Because it was ridiculous how bad that guy was just screaming.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you would have heard.
I'm remembering mine was the guy behind us that kept telling his friend what he was looking at, but his friend wasn't blind. His friend kept looking at him like, why are you telling me all this?
Yep.
You know, I did manage to tune it out for the most part, but once in a while he's like, look at that, he's wearing a trench coat. Look at that, he's wearing a trench coat. And his buddy's like, dude. That's all he said. His buddy was like, dude, one word, one time, whole show. You know, unless he was whispering sweet nothings before departure. Speaking of departure, United States women's national team legend Julie Ertz said goodbye this last week. The U.S. national team program said farewell to one of their most prolific players on Thursday as Julie Ertz officially stepped away from the game after multiple titles and accolades. The defensive player retires to shift her focus toward family, a priority she said she's placed emphasis on during her career. 3-0 win over South Africa on Thursday night served as the farewell game for the legendary American. She leaves the game with 2 World Cups, an Olympic medal, and a club career spent entirely with the National Women's Soccer League. Ertz made the return to the pitch earlier this year after having navigated a knee surgery from last year and maternity leave. So, and she played great at the World Cup. I don't give a shit. You know, I mean, there's a lot of criticism to be made at how that team behaved, you know, but at this level, if you're not cocky, what are you doing? You know, if you're at the World Cup and you just won like the last 3 of them, I think you got to be a little cocky. I still don't think you leave your starters on the bench. Still wondering about that. Who the fuck am I? I'm brand new here. I don't know. I just got here. That seems wrong.
It was a bad idea. It was a bad idea to put the starters on the bench. I mean, they thought, oh, well, these early games are going to be simple for us.
Yeah, they're like, saving them for the finals.
Yeah. And I'm like, you're not going to get to the finals if you don't play your best people. Sorry.
But yeah, great ball player. Seems like a really nice person. I don't know her personally. You know, but she was an inspiration for a lot of folks that like this sport. Speaking of an inspiration for a lot of people that like this sport, Megan Rapinoe is retiring as we record. Her last game is, as this drops yesterday. She is insanely inspiring to me. And and not in that way that dudes tend to co-op a good athlete, you know, that's inspiring to women. I don't, it's not like, you know, she's so inspiring it's bled over to men. Nah, man, she could play. You know, I have gone through and looked at so many fucking clips of her over the last 20 years and just what a fucking force of nature. Yep. This is athleticism evolved, you know, to a level that Ronaldo, that Pele, that Messi, Beckham, you know, have hit.
Yep.
And she's been doing that for a lot longer than some of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's amazing. And I've listened to her interviews and, you know, I've read articles and stories and biographicals on her. And she's just, women's soccer is not going to be as much fun without her there, which is kind of why this year's World Cup was not as much fun for me as the last one. Because they pulled her out in the last 5 minutes of the game. They're like, yeah, we're getting our ass kicked. We probably ought to get a little Rapinoe out on the field. And she went out there and was dominating the field. She didn't have enough time left to score any fucking goals. And then she missed that penalty. And her reaction, I think I found endearing. And that was she started to laugh. She's like, who the fuck am I to miss a penalty kick? I haven't missed a penalty kick in decades, you know? And she went over to him. She's like, what the fuck is this all about? Jesus Christ, it's my last game. God damn. And she just kind of laughs her way off the field. And I'm like, yeah.
That's funny.
That is exactly how I deal with failure for the most part. And I was just like, what the what? How did I not see this coming?
That's funny.
Yeah. I dig it. But yeah, no. I mean, you do. You look at the it's Alex Morgan and Rapinoe and I forgot her name all of a sudden. Wit?
Wit.
My name's Wit. Do you know your ladies? Do you not know?
No.
You can't help me out here? All right. But yeah, it's that women's national soccer team is just. And I am once again thrown into the frustration of, and I have said this out loud. I like to watch women's soccer more than men's soccer because I think it is a truer and more enjoyable version of the sport. You know, they're tougher, they're stronger, they're more badass. And and you know, there was I watch like Arsenal now or Newcastle, which are my two teams that I like in the Premier League. And you know, I enjoy watching the game and I sit there and I smile a little bit and I go, oh, this is a nice game. I'm watching a nice game. This is a hell of a way to blow, I don't know how long they are, like 6 hours or something. And and maybe eight hours. Would you say? Yeah, about that. You know, and then whenever the women's team was on, I'm fucking jumping up and down. I'm just like, yeah, kick some ass! You know, referee!
It's so cool to watch women's. I've said this a lot. You watch Women's World Cup, you watch these women take hits, hard hits, you know, in this game that you see in the men's games. And unlike in the men's games, they get right back up and start playing again. The men go down and flop and moan to try to draw a penalty. And the women are just like, fuck it, I got knocked down. Give me back up. Not hurt that bad.
You know, men's sports. Well, women's sports have that. Men's sports have fucking Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Nope.
Sorry.
Yeah, somebody famous made fun of him a little bit, and his retort was, why don't you go get another booster?
Okay.
That was his retort. This man's a multimillionaire.
Yeah, he's not smart.
Nope.
I apologize for the fucking chihuahua who won't shut up. He's going through some shit right now, and I don't understand what because he doesn't speak English yet. Anyway, with Rapinoe, I mean, you look at all the World Cup victories, you look at the Olympics victories, you look at the fact that the Ballon d'Or, which is a thing they give you for being really good at soccer, she won the Ballon d'Or with Lionel Messi. She was the second recipient of the newly created Ballon d'Or Féminine Award.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... she's badass. I'm going to miss her. I hope she does. I hope she does a lot of politics. I want her in the news. I like it. And because of the way that recording works and time passes, I hope she won her game today. That would be really cool.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
It really do. It sucks to go out when you lose, you know?
Yeah.
As we all know. All right. Look, we're at the end of the show. As always, I'm going to remind you that we're going to keep going in Patreon. I've got 6 huge stories that I think you'll all enjoy. Some of them are very important. You know, it's not the funniest thing I've put out there, but Defend Media, D-E-F-E-N Media.
Mm-hmm.
We're over on Patreon.com, and we would very much appreciate your help. We're going to go through over the next few weeks, fix a couple things. We're launching a couple of new shows. I'm very excited about all of that. One of them I will tell you about next week. The other one I promised we would release by this time last week, and we didn't for reasons that are mine and mine alone. Well, typically was. Why we didn't drop the recording we made. Yeah. Yeah. I was tired. All right, guys. That's it. Join us over at Patreon.com. Patreon.com/DefendMedia. D-E-F-E-N Media. Every week we record, we drop a special show for you over there. We're going to be dropping more content there as the next few weeks go by. That should keep you guys pretty happy, I would like to think. Anyway, that's it for us now. JC, Taylor, thank you very much for recording with me.
Mm-hmm.
Tiffany, thanks for sitting here and chiming in from time to time. Might as well just get you a microphone at this point. Okay. Let's all do what the British lady says.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/DefenMedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.